Good morning.
Good morning.
A lovely morning it is.
Amen.
We're not sweating yet. That's a good thing.
Some of us.
Oh, some of us? Okay. Our dates to remember are basically the same. We have Bible study on Wednesday. They have prayer at 6:30 and then Bible study from 7 to 8. Thursday is choir practice from 6:30 to 8. And everybody remember that we do have a farmer's market on Saturday. I'd like to see more of you people there. This week, we were kind of lonesome. We needed more people. Does anybody have a...
I want to mention too that we have only 3 more farmer's markets, and then we have the share fair on September 17th. And anybody that doesn't know, that's when you can bring anything that you don't want, household items, clothing, no car parts and things like that, but you bring them on the day of the share fair. We have soups and chilies and fun breads and things for free for people. And then after it's over, the Salvation Army comes and picks up all of the leftover stuff. So it's kind of a double blessing. It's very popular. So I hope that you guys can help to contribute by either donating or coming and help us to hold off.
That's my birthday.
Nice birthday.
Is that after the farmer's market?
No, the farmer's market ends.
Are there any other announcements?
17th.
I can't see.
We have a birthday to celebrate.
Yeah.
That was yesterday. Mr. Michael Whalen, birthday yesterday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you.
Yay. That it?
In case you wonder why the piano sounds weird, they tuned it on Tuesdays.
Oh, that makes it sound weird.
I'm being facetious. I'm being Donald Trump.
Okay. Right. Okay, now we have prayer requests. We have prayers for Joy for Missy Hagen as she recovers from a terrible car accident. She's in Bay State and would like to have visitors now. Prayers for Linda and Faith as they heal at home. And they're both doing quite well. Prayers for Bob and Judy and Charlie and I and all the people who battle Parkinson's. Prayers for all our cancer warriors, Terry and Jeannie's sister Ruth, who seems to be doing quite well in spite of everything. Charlie Roberts, Roger Kerboy, the Reverend Bob Wilner, Karen's friend Dee and her husband, and all our cancer warriors as they battle cancer. Continued healing prayers for Jacob, baby Luke, Angelica Ward, and all our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren that need healing. Prayers for all the doctors and nurses for wisdom and guidance. Continued healing prayers for Kelly Collins and family. Kit, Rich, Tom's sister, Kelly Morin, Jeannie's husband, Rick, Karen, Colt Colville, Jackie, my sister Priscilla. Prayers of joy for Joel and Gail as they came home safe from their vacation. Any other prayer requests? Yes, Ed.
Yeah, okay. Well, first of all, start with prayers of joy. We, yesterday, Alma and I, very short notice. Presided over a reaffirmation of Ed and Debbie Ray's wedding vows. And I also want to give a really proud of my daughter, Cadence, who all caution was thrown to the wind yesterday. She did her first public performance, Amazing Grace, How Chains Are Gone, as the recessional service. And she did great. So really, really happy for the Rays. It was a very, very touching ceremony, and there'll be a podcast in the day or two. Now, desperate prayers of, you got, Jacob had a scan, and the news is kind of devastating. He had, his intracranial pressure had gone up, and they were wondering what it got clogged with. Well, it was getting clogged with cancer cells. They did a scan, and the cancer is wrapped all around the spinal cord. The doctors, his mom's word, the doctors are not optimistic at all. So, pray hard. I told Sarah, hold on tight to your Bible and each other.
We need to pray extra hard that this child doesn't suffer anymore. Thank you. And
one of the things, even in the storm, there's pain, it's a rainbow. Before all that last bit of business went down, he did get to go home. We hoped that it would be a week long, it ended up being a day, but he got to go home between chemo treatments, and though it only lasted a day, they were there for dinner, and they actually wanted to say grace. He very enthusiastically volunteered and did so at his family's kitchen table. And he really wanted to do that in rhythm, so they had that.
And we also have prayers for Gary and Elaine. I talked to them yesterday, and they're having a wonderful time. Sorry that they missed out on the confirmation of vows, and they're just having a grand time, meeting all her relatives and everything. So prayers for their safe return.
We did actually get them by phone.
Yeah, we did. I talked to them afterwards, so, yeah. Any other prayer requests? None? That's a blessing. Okay, would you stand for the call to worship, please?
Good morning. Would you turn in your hymnals to 68, not 69? I apparently gave Gary the wrong number. We will read this responsively. Ed Side can start.
Lavish love, abundant beauty, gracious gift for heart and hand, life that fills the souls and senses, all burst forth at your command. Lord, our Lord, eternal Father, great Creator, God and friend, boundless power to full expression, to your love knows no end.
Who am I that I should... You should love me. Why invest yourself so fully in a creature made of earth? In your loving heart, you planned me, fashioned me with greatest care. Through my soul, you breathed your spirit, planted your own image there. And everyone together? I am yours, eternal Father, all my body, mind, and heart. Take and use me to your glory. Form yourself in every part. Lord, your love brings joy and gladness flowing forth within my soul. May my very breath and being rise to you, their source and goal. And if you will turn to number 60. Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead of myself. It's time for the Lord's Prayer. Join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Sing number 60. I wanted to just take a second. Great is thy faithfulness. Yeah, it's hot today, but God is faithful. We have bottled water. Ed thought to bring bottled water, nice and cold. If anybody would like some, just raise your hand and we will get it to you. The only thing we ask is that you do not put it on the wooden arms of the pew. Just keep it on your lap, put it on yourself or on the cushions, yes. You know, God is faithful all the time. Even though the heat is hot, nobody's passed out, and even though the heat tends to bother me, I'm trusting that God has already given me the victory over this, and so I'm not going to give that victory to Satan and let him have his way. I'm going to trust that God's going to keep me and everyone else that's bothered by the heat upright and motivated and singing. So now, can we start with number 60, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Tithes and offerings. And as Gary reminds us every week, we are abundantly blessed.
Even the poorest of us have got it a whole lot better than a whole lot of other countries. None of us have ever had to watch our child die of starvation. None of us have ever had to make the decision, do we make the choice to let our child live? Or which child should I allow to live because I only have enough food for so many? So in our abundance, I ask the ushers to come forward, if everyone would just share. Do we have ushers? Okay. Jesus, I thank you for these blessings that you've given to us. Father, I thank you for each person that has blessed our church by including money into this offering plate. Lord, I ask that you would use it to benefit your kingdom, to make your kingdom would grow greater and greater. Lord, I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Children's time, and we have a different children's person today. Miss Betty.
About something that's on TV. What does this remind you of? The Olympics. Do you watch the Olympics at home?
But I do jump in my pool.
You do, do you get a medal for jumping in your pool? You don't. But if you were at school and you worked really, really hard, what do we think about the Olympians? How did they get this gold medal? What did they have to do? Tell us.
They have to compete
in sport. Yeah. Right, they have to compete in sport and finish first. How did they get to compete? What does that mean? Do they just like show up in Rio and say, hi, I want to swim? Right. But what do they have to do before that? Don't they have to swim a little bit and work?
Yeah.
They have to work really, really hard, don't they? Kind of when you, if, have you ever been in a race? Have you ever run really, really hard and been in a race with other people? No? Well, racing is part of the Olympics. Swimming is part of the Olympics. And in order to... And what?
And jumping in.
Yes, yes, gymnastics, that's really important. And swimming, did you see them swimming on TV? No? Well, the whole point of me bringing this today is to tell you that the Olympians have to work hard to get a medal. They have to train, that even from Hannah's age, they have to learn to whatever their sport is, they have to start swimming, they have to work really, really hard. And some of them work harder, some of them work 8 to 10 hours a day in their sport before they can get to go to the Olympics. So they have to work really hard, even as young people. So that's what we call a reward, or a goal, or a prize. But now I want to ask you something about a gift. What's a gift? Do you have to work for a gift? Like when it's your birthday, does your mom say, okay, well, I'll give you your birthday gift if you clean your rooms?
When I clean my toy room, I have, like, sometimes I can't hear something.
Cool, because you worked to do that. But when it was your birthday, did your mom say, well, you can't have your birthday present unless you clean your room? No, because it's a gift, right? So the difference is because it's your special day. But what we have, and I brought some things with me to remind you, that, what does this say? Can you read it, Alexis? You are saved by a gift from God. That's right. And everybody should know that we are saved by a gift from God.
Do you agree?
There you go. Because God doesn't make us earn the fact that we're saved. Because we couldn't. How could we? God gives it to us because God is the giver of our salvation. So no matter, we should still try to be good. We should still work at things. But our salvation, our very lives into infinity is a gift from God. Can we pray? Can we all hold hands? I like holding hands. Let's see if we can do. Can we make a circle and hold hands? You put your baby down? Okay. Grandma's down here. Okay. Dear God, we ask that you continue to guide and bless us, that you keep us safe at all times, and Lord, that we know enough to accept your gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you, Betty. We have a scripture reader. Do we have a scripture reader?
Yeah, I warn you, I never read the right scriptures. It's my forte. 1:3?
Yes, you got it.
Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Thank you for only making that one verb.
Thank you. Have you ever received a gift or had someone try to give you a gift and you've said, I couldn't possibly accept that, this is way too extravagant? Nobody? Some of you, okay. I want you to imagine that we are living in a country that the justice system is very different from ours. That all it takes is one little misdemeanor and you'd appear before a judge that has the power to throw you into jail, and the jail system is horrible. The jailers are noted for abusing and torturing and killing people. And I want you to imagine that you got caught doing some little thing, doesn't matter what it was, you just got caught doing it. And the officer writes you the ticket and says, oh, and by the way, you're gonna be appearing before Judge so-and-so, good luck. He is noted for being really, really tough. And he's also noted for doing incredibly thorough background checks on people. He goes back to your childhood. So I hope you've been good, because if not, things are not going to go well for you. Expect to be hearing from the judge. Some time goes by, and some of you would have been sweating it out more than others, thinking about all the things you've done, maybe to your siblings, things you did in school, tests you cheated on, homework you didn't do, stuff you did in your teens, things you said or did to your kids that you really wish you could take back, things you did to other people you wish you could take back, things you wish you hadn't done at work or you had done. All these things are coming rushing back, because how thorough is this judge going to be? And then it comes in the mail, the dreaded letter with the judge's return address on it. And you open it up, and it's not an appearance for court. It's a dinner invitation, and the invitation reads this way. I have dinner every night at 5 o'clock. If you'd like to join me, please stop in any time. Is this a trick? Is this where the judge is gonna get you? Yeah, you don't trust it, so you push it aside. Week after week, you keep getting these letters, and not one of them has turned out to be a summons. It's all the letter inviting you to dinner. If you'd like to come to dinner sometime at 5 o'clock is when we eat, come join us. Out of curiosity, after about the 13th letter, you decide you're going to go. You show up at just 5 o'clock because you don't want to be too late, you don't want to be too early. And you pull up in front of this gigantic, expensive mansion. You get out of your car and you knock on the door expecting the butler to answer the door, but instead of the butler, it's the judge himself. He opens up the door and says, you came! I've been expecting you. I've been really hoping you'd come. We've been waiting. And he puts his arm around your shoulder and he walks you through the house, showing you the mansion, how great it is. And he takes you into the dining room. And as you walk through the threshold of the door, you see balloons and crepe paper. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. And then you get this panic look on your face. You're just filled with panic because, oh no, it must be the judge's grandson's birthday or something. I've chosen to come on the worst possible day. But out of the corner, a whole bunch of people start running into the room and shout, surprise! And now you are really dumbfounded because it's not your birthday. You haven't done anything that warrants any kind of party. You're not going away. You're not retiring. You haven't done anything. And so you look very curiously at the judge, who continues ushering you in. Excuse me. And he sits you at the head of the table and says, here, this is for you. And you say, judge, I think you got the wrong person. No, I have the right person. No, my name is, and you tell him your name. Yeah, I know. Now just wait here, I've got presents for you. And he goes into the other room and he comes out with gift bags. And you think, what is going on here? Can't possibly be for me. And you say to the judge once again, are you sure? Yep, I know who I have. You're the right person. You're the right one. come on, open up your gifts. And he gets like a giddy child. Come on, come on, come on, open them up. Here's the first one. And it says, for a special person, someone special, I'm sorry. And you take a peek inside. And now you're certain he has to be. It's got to be wrong. Because it says, not guilty. And it's got the royal seal on it. So you're looking at him again.
Excuse me.
And you announce your name once again, and he says, oh yeah, I know. Keep going, there's more in the bag. Your record has been expunged. Again, it's got the royal seal. And once again, you tell the judge your name. And the judge says, I know who you are. I've done a thorough background check on you. I know about the time you lied to your teacher. I remember. In fact, I was around then. And I also know about the time that you came into work late and you lied on your time card. I know about the time you did this and you did that. And he starts naming off all these other things. And he said, I know who you're married to. And he names off your children, your grandchildren, faster than you can. And you say, but how can this possibly be? This doesn't make any sense, Judge. I got caught. And the judge says, I know. And as I was looking over your record, I got to thinking. The punishment that I would have to give you was so severe, I knew there's no way you would ever be able to endure it. So while I was thinking about it one day, my son came into the room. You have four kids. I only have one son. And I was telling him about the predicament I was in. And I got the idea. Son, she's never going to be able to tolerate this punishment. Would you mind taking it for her? And my son said yes. What do you say to that? Do you say, no way, I couldn't possibly let your son do that? Well, the judge's reply is going to be, well, he already paid that price. He already went through the prison. He already went through the beating. He already went through the crucifixion. He went through the torture. He did it all. Do you still refuse it? Because to refuse it means he went through all that for nothing. To refuse it means you're saying, piece of cake, I can endure that myself. The judge says, don't answer yet. There's more in the bag. So you peek in. You are holy. You are perfect. Judge, it's still me. And the judge says, I know. But because my son paid that price, because he went to prison for you, because he took the torture for you, you're as far as I'm concerned, you're perfect and holy. You're in my house, seated at my table, perfect and holy. I don't see a thing. Do you say now? That's just too much. I couldn't possibly accept that. Before you can say anything more, the judge says, come on, come on, there's more. Open up the next one. And remember, I hold the key to the prison that if you turn these down, I've got the key and I'm going to have to lock you up. So come on, open up the next one. So, adopted by the king. Not just any king, the king, the king of kings. That means that comes with all sorts of perks. You get to be dressed in the royal robes. You get to wear his armor. He's going to protect you. The King of Kings is never too busy for you. Now, he's a busy man, I'll agree. He's got world crises to take care of every day. But whenever you need him as a child of his, never, ever, ever does he say to his child, honey, can you just come back later? I'm in the middle of a business meeting. Instead, the King of Kings says to the business meeting, you guys are going to have to wait a minute. My child wants to talk to me. My child has a problem. I got to take care of this first. As the child of the king, you will always come first. Everything he's ever done has been in preparation for you becoming his child. Everything. Do you say that's too much? I couldn't possibly accept this. Then he says, keep looking, there's more. Power and authority over evil. Remember Saturday morning cartoons? There is always a superhero who has the power to put an invisible force field around himself and around others he's trying to protect. As a child of the king, we have that same authority. We have that same kind of power. Let me read it to you. It's in writing. He put it in writing. In Colossians 1:13 out. It says, he rescued us from the one who rules the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of his own dear son. In Matthew 10:1, it says, when he called the 12 disciples to himself, he gave them the power against unclean evil spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then in Luke 10:19 and 20, it says, behold, I give you the power to tread on serpents and scorpions. It's like you have that force field. And over the power of the enemy, nothing will hurt you. But don't rejoice because the spirits are subjected to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. We have that kind of authority? Just because we've been adopted by the King of Kings? At this point, do you say, no, it's just too much? Nope. Let's go back to being perfect, because that whole thing is just driving you crazy. Whoops, wrong one. You are perfect. And you say, Judge, you know, okay, if I accept that your son paid the price for my past sins, I'm still not perfect. Ha ha. Yes, you are. The king says, I have a book here somewhere. Hold on. Well, I had a book here. Here it is. This is Max Licuto's book called He Fights for You. He talks about Jericho. Here's what you need to know about the walls of Jericho. They were immense and they were impenetrable. Here's what you need to know about the inhabitants of Jericho. They were ferocious and barbaric. They were guilty of child sacrifice. They burned their own sons and daughters to sacrifice to their gods. They were the Bronze Age virgin of the Gestapo and ruthless tyrants. But here's what you need to know about Joshua. He didn't bring the walls down. His soldiers never swung a hammer. His men never dislodged a brick. They never rammed the door or turned a single stone loose. And the shaking and quaking and rumbling and tumbling of the thick impervious walls was what God did. And God will do that for you. Your Jericho is your fear, your anger, your bitterness, your prejudice, your insecurity about the future and about yourself, your guilt about the past, your negativity, your anxiety, your critical spirit, your over-analysis, your compartmentalizing things. Your Jericho is any attitude or mindset that keeps you from peace, joy, and rest. And it stands between you and the glory days. And it mocks you. And it tells you to take your dreams back to the wilderness. It's big and it's evil and it blocks your way. And its walls must come down in order for you to live in the promised land. In order for you to live in the land, you must face your Jericho. God did it. God did not say to Jericho, take the city. But God said to Joshua, I'm sorry, God did not say to Joshua, take the city. God said to Joshua, receive the city I have taken for you. You're perfect because Jesus continues to fight for you. All we have to do is accept it. Still struggling with that one though, huh? And then he says, come on, there's still more. An imperishable inheritance. Imagine the richest man on earth has thousands and thousands of stocks. And he gets hit by a car and he finds out he's only got a day to live. And so he gets the lawyer, his lawyer, and he says, get me a phone book. And he opens up the phone book and he does one of these. Closes his eyes and puts his finger down in the middle of the phone book. And he says, whoever's name I just let my finger just landed on, that's who I want to receive all of my stocks. And it turns out to be your name. The next day, the millionaire dies. While the lawyer is knocking at your door, telling you, you answer the door, and he starts telling you this whole story about what just happened, and he hands over the stocks. On the television in the living room, there's a big news broadcast that said they found out that the millionaire just died, and the stock market crashed. All the stocks that you just received aren't worth the paper that they're written on. That's not going to happen here. Our inheritance is streets of gold. It's a city that is surrounded by a wall made out of gemstones. In fact, the Bible says that there are colors in heaven that the eyes have never seen on this earth. Colors that this earth has never seen. And we think we've seen them all. There is wealth beyond anything we can imagine. But the wealth isn't in money. It's in the fact that love is now tangible. We in our greatest moments of love, when we're first falling in love with our spouse, when we're all a flutter and we think love can't get any bigger than this, that's not even a drop in the bucket. God is love, and we're going to be able to be in his presence. We're going to be able to touch him, hug him, just grab onto him, climb up onto his lap. We're going to have more joy and peace that this earth couldn't possibly contain, more than our earthly bodies could contain. Now that's an inheritance. And the judge says, and that can never, ever, ever go away. The Bible says, let me tell you, show you. Blah, blah, blah. For God has reserved a priceless inheritance for his children. It is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change or decay. And God, in his mighty power, will protect you until you receive this salvation because you're trusting him. You're a child of his. It also says that he will never leave you or forsake you. We all know of our earthly fathers that have dropped the ball. We all know of times, as parents ourselves, we've dropped the ball. We wanted to be there for a child and we couldn't. But that'll never, ever happen with God because we've been adopted. Now, close your eyes, please. Nobody looking around. Raise your hand if you say, I can't accept that from God. Good. Now raise your hands if you say, I do accept it from God. Amen. Since we've all accepted it, you can open your eyes. We know that when our time on this earth is done, we know where we're going to be going. We know what glory awaits us. So, let's close with I'll Fly Away. It's in your binders. Do we have the binders back up here?
Yes.
If you open up your binders, you will find I'll Fly Away in your binders. And as Gary would say, sing with enthusiasm.
Sometimes only when this life is over, I'll fly away to before we leave, I have little gifts for everybody. Here's scripture verses. I think there's probably enough. I think I've got 24 in here. So if you'd like to take more than, how many people do we have there? Did anybody count?
26.
Oh, okay. Did you want to cast it out? Okay. Take them, enjoy them, take them as a blessing from God, and share them with someone else. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we've had together. Lord, I thank you that nobody passed out. Lord, I thank you that that your presence was felt here, Lord. Father, I ask that you would help us to be a blessing to all those we come in contact with the rest of the week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.